Today we're turning again to the prophet Hosea. You'll find that in the Old Testament, Hosea chapter 6, and a reading from the first letter of John, 1 John chapter 4, verses 15 through 17. And let's seek the Lord in prayer once again as we come to His Word read and preached. Father, we draw near with believing hearts. And we know that this is not merely the word written by an apostle. It is the inspired word of God through that apostle and the prophet. And we know that it then carries all authority, the greatest use that you would bring to us is by your word. You mean to help us, to instruct us, to guide our way, to teach us how to walk by faith as disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to put aside what distracts, to focus on what matters, and Lord, in all these things, to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Command our hearts by your word, and kindle our affections, that we would love him as he first loved us. Lord, bless your word, we pray, in its reading, its preaching, its hearing, and Lord, our doing as well. All of this we ask in Christ and for his sake. Amen. Hosea 6, once again, the prophet says to a wayward Israel, "Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day that we may live before him. So let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn, and he will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? For your loyalty is like a morning cloud, and like the dew which goes away early. Therefore I have hewn them in pieces by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. And the judgments on you are like the light that goes forth. For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. But like Adam, they have transgressed the covenant. There they have dealt treacherously against me. Gilead is a city of wrongdoers, tracked with bloody footprints, and as raiders wait for a man, so a band of priests murder on the way to Shechem. Surely they have committed crime. In the house of Israel, I have seen a horrible thing. Ephraim's harlotry is there. Israel has defiled itself. Also, O Judah, there is a harvest appointed for you, when I restore the fortunes of my people." And going to 1 John chapter 4 as a way to encapsulate the rest of our series going forth, verses 15 through 17. "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, the love is perfected with us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world." And we'll end our reading of the Word of God here at this point. We saw in our previous message, our first message on the series of loyalty, we saw what loyalty means and how it is so with God, and that God, by his very nature, his very being, is a loyal God. He is the faithful God. I wonder if you've noticed that many times that little phrase is said in the New Testament, God is faithful. God is faithful. It's a New Testament version of what we're studying, that God is loyal. And even in the New Testament, God reminds us often that he is faithful. God is faithful. And he says that to remind us of his promises, either one reason, or yet another would be to enforce our duty in those promises. God is faithful. God's loyalty to us in Christ then should lead our loyalty to God in Christ. That is the right response. Since God is loyal to us in Christ, we should be loyal to God in Christ. Since God is loyal, his people should also be loyal. Simple point. That's the second point in our series. Having seen loyalty in terms of the God to man direction, we're starting in this one to see another direction. Today's direction is man to God. Man to God. We know in the natural realm that what goes up must what? Must come down again. That's the natural realm. In the spiritual realm, as you would imagine, it's just the opposite. What goes down must come up again. The whole resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead ushers in that great truth. If God has been loyal to us, we are to be loyal to God. God's people are to be marked by loyalty. In a holy nostalgia, as if a husband looking back on the early days of marriage amidst the sometimes disagreeable or troubled matters of married life later, God would say of Israel, as he does in Hosea, but as he does in Jeremiah chapter 2, I remember concerning the devotion of your youth, the love of your betrothals, your following after me in the desert. God remembered fondly those times of devotion, loyalty in marriage. God's people are to be marked by loyalty and devotion to him. And thus God often calls for loyalty from the people of God. Micah 6:8, a very famous verse. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love loyalty, and to walk humbly with your God? When the Lord takes good men from a sinful generation by death in his mercy, he says, the righteous man perishes and no one takes it to heart. Devout men are taken away and no one understands. It's often a mercy that God takes away the especially loyal in times that we would say they are needed now more than ever, or he died too young. Well, that is oftentimes God taking away the devout. He further adds, don't let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Whether it's loyalty or faithfulness or this matter of kindness, God's people are to be marked by loyalty to God. If you're a Christian, are you loyal? Is that an attribute of you as a Christian, even as it is of God? Are you faithful? Are you faithful and loyal to God, or do you, in the common phrase, have misplaced loyalties? Are you double-minded? Are you like the people of Israel and Judah under the Old Testament, where they feared the Lord, but then they served the gods of Baal up on the high places? Are you loyal to God? Do you follow your conscience? Are you guided by his word? You may be told something by someone else. You may have a thought in your own mind, but how does it square with the word of God? Are you loyal to God? The nature of this word, again, is loyalty, faithfulness, steadfast, devoted love. Usually it's wrapped up in the promise of God or wrapped up in a vow taken, or a covenant of some sort. It's an enduring love. This is the kind of love that's committed no matter what. I'm committed to the end. Well, you can see then why we began the series with God's loyalty. If we began the series with our own loyalty, we'd be wondering what we're doing. With God's loyalty, our way becomes clear. Well, we need His loyal love as the ground of acceptance through Jesus Christ. We need His loyal love as the example, then, for our own lifestyle. And that is why, being sinners, being weak, we easily fail. We have to look at two features of our loyalty to God. We have to see today that this loyalty toward God involves two things. Number one, substance. Number two, sacrifice. Substance and sacrifice. Looking first then at substance, we meet again with the words of Hosea at chapter 6 and verse 4. They show us what loyalty is to be toward God. The nature of loyalty is seen by the opposite of what Israel showed to God, and thus he rebuked them, reproved them, and provides for us as them a lesson about what loyalty is. It's there at verse 4. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? For your loyalty is like a morning mist. It's like the dew which goes away early. Now it's almost 11 o'clock. It's 10:45. And the sun came up hours ago. On the grass was this thing called dew. And in sometimes, I wasn't up early enough to see this morning, but sometimes there's a haze. There's mist. And here it may be rendered in your Bible as the cloud of the morning. This is getting at the early part of the day, which, can you see it now? Is there any cloud or haze low to the ground from the dew? You go out and you swipe the grass, and it's probably dried up by now. This was the illustration God used to characterize Israel's loyalty. If the Lord would pick an illustration, which he did, he'd say, the morning dew, the morning mist, that's what you're like, O Israel. You lack substance. What you say easily goes. It dissipates. This is something that is fickle. It's fading. And you're like the morning mist. You're just humidity that kind of blows away. Something that has lightness to it. And so it lacks substance. We see that in verse 4. We see it also in verse 7, where again God is reckoning them as all transgressors of the covenant in Adam. He says that they've transgressed the covenant, and there they've dealt treacherously against me. The spouse that is disloyal to the other spouse, the Old Testament word, treacherous. You're treacherous. You're unfaithful. You're not loyal. God said to Israel, you're treacherous. And so here with the morning dew and the mist, and even the way that is futile in sin, we're seeing that loyalty has to do with substance. You look at that in the contrast of verse 3 to 4, where it's ironic. In verse 4, Israel is likened to the morning mist, and yet in verse 3, the Lord is as certain as the dawn. He will come to us like the rain watering the earth. That stuff that makes not the dirt dry out in a matter of a little bit of time, but it makes it soggy. Something of substance, something real and even heavy. Israel is contrasted with God, and God here is showing us that loyalty has a sort of substance to it. It really does. It leads us to see that we should not be something that dissipates. It shouldn't be for a time and goes away. It shouldn't be fading. It shouldn't be occasional. This is something that should be constant, something we always do, something we're regularly committed to, something that's a way of life. It's a pattern. It is a routine. But it has substance to it. The point we're making, our loyalty then has substance. It's not something that's here for an hour and then dries up. We can have our loyalty toward God be all about words, but words only. We could take vows, and yet we could not fulfill those vows. We could break our vows. We can have words, but God is showing that there's more than words. There has to be substance, not just intentions, but fulfillment, like God does. He makes a promise, and he keeps his promise. He's faithful to his word. And so there has to be a substance, something substantial to this. You know, it was hot the other day, once again. We reached, 95 degrees the other day. Maybe you've forgotten about that day already. But on such a day, would you want me to describe to you, even in great color and description and detail, about an ice cream cone? Would you be enamored? Would you find it satisfying to you at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on said day of 95 degrees, and I even pull out a picture of the ice cream I'm describing, would that satisfy you? Or would you not rather me say, let's go to the ice cream shop and get ice cream and lick ice cream and enjoy ice cream? You see, you wouldn't want just the words. You'd want the substance, the very substance of it all. And that's what loyalty is to be. It's to have substance to us. It's got to be the real stuff, we could say. It's got to have some weight, some reality, some touchableness to it. And that's why we began with God's loyalty. Because if God's loyalty to us in the gospel teaches us anything, it's not words only. What would it be like if God's loyalty was only promises? And he'd tell us everything about Jesus Christ. And he'd say, this is who he is. He's the Son of God. This is what he's going to do. He's going to end the matter of sin once and for all. You'll never be guilty of it again. I'll never hold it against you again. I will, in fact, remember it no more. And we say, man, that sounds great. But then the Father never sent the Son. You see, God's loyalty has substance to it. And that's why the doctrine of the incarnation is real stuff. Some people reject it. Some deny it. Now as long ago. But God shows us that his loyalty has substance. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And then John tells us that the Word became flesh. God became a man. God, keeping his promises, loyal to his covenant, loving his people, God became a man. And so the Son of God became the Son of Man. The Son of God became the Son of Mary. And so we have that Savior who came among us. And so how do we know that God so loved the world? We know that because he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Because the children, we're told in Hebrews, partake of flesh and blood, he had to partake of the same. If he's to be their Savior, and the law is to be kept before God, as man toward God, and God is to show his mercy to said sinner, the only way God, in his wise counsel, would do this is by sending his Son as fully man and fully God. So the term substance here helps us to understand and see something further and deeper about this word chesed, this Old Testament word for loyalty. We see it in the Old Testament, it's sometimes upright, it's sometimes the blameless, sometimes it's the godly, sometimes it's the faithful, but it is loyal. And all of these various terms come into the New Testament where it's mixed with grace, or love, or mercy, or faithful. And God is saying, this is all of what love is. So like a stream that goes and collects all these various things. You know, a tin can, a stick, piece of weed or brush. And as it goes down the stream, it collects stuff and it goes into a lake and it all gathers there. That's what loyalty is. It's the water that collects these things. And so then you and I, if we've been taught in the gospel, we see that our loyalty has to have substance to it. So then just look at your life as we're here camped at part two. Is your loyalty substantial? Is it meaningful? Is it something solid? Is it stable? Can you put your hands on it? If someone could look at an action or a word you speak, can they point to something that's real and a blessing? That's what loyalty is from God. We have to examine ourselves and say, is my loyalty real or is it fading? Is it genuine and sincere? Is it substantial? So that's the first point. The second one is that our loyalty to God has to be about sacrifice. There's substance and there's sacrifice. Again, Hosea chapter 6, verse 4. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? This divine frustration with his people. What shall I do with you, O Judah, north and south, all of them? Because your loyalty is like a morning mist and like the dew which goes away early. The way God dealt with this is by sacrifice. It's by sacrifice. Now, you know what sacrifice basically is. We can use this word in various ways in our own life and our conversation. We say, I had to sacrifice this for that. And what do we mean by it? But that we put this aside, we forego this. We could have had this, that, or another thing, but instead, we do this, that, or the other thing for another. That's sacrifice. We read of Jesus sacrificing. And if we sacrifice, that means that we lay down our own will, our own desires, if we're going to be loyal, and we pick up the right thing to do toward the object of our loyalty. Remember, that's what Jesus was saying. He said, I've not come to do my own will. But what did he come to do? To accomplish the Father's will and to serve him. We read about that in John 5, verse 30. Again, John 6, verse 38. And you probably easily remember Jesus praying there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was wanting, in a sense, to forego the cup of suffering. Father, if it is possible, remove this cup from me. But he didn't end his prayer there. No, he was beginning to show us the merits and the nature of his sacrifice. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. If we're to be loyal to God, Jesus teaches us that there's going to be some sacrifice that is entailed. And so incarnation, having to do with the substance of loyalty, leads us to the crucifixion, which teaches us the sacrifice involved in loyalty. Now, do you see how the gospel has to fuel? It has to give us that understanding of what it is to be loyal people. God shows us in the sacrifice of his son. If we love another person, if we care about them, if we're to be together, united to them, our loyalty has to contain sacrifice. The gospel itself does. This is why we preach the gospel to believers. We as believers need to be reminded of this. We lose sight of it. We lack the hissing hot dimension that would drive us to be loyal when we don't preach the gospel, because it reminds us of Christ's sacrifice. This is what he did for us. It means everything in the world to me because in it I'm forgiven. I'm made at peace with God. I'm reconciled. I have everlasting life. I have fellowship with God. And being motivated and changed in the affections and understanding, the motivation we have, we then are led to what we'll see next week of man-to-man loyalty. So do you see how the gospel has to be preached in this point and has to be drawn from it? There's sacrifice in our loyalty to God. You say, but wait a minute. I thought that you said from Hosea, in fact, oh yes, there it is. It's there at verse 6. Isn't Hosea saying something that you're not? It says here, I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice. So, Pastor Coombs, aren't you making a point that Hosea's not making? I would say, no. I'm making the very point that Hosea is making. Because what Hosea's point is to say he's not interested in the insubstantial sacrifice. He's not interested, as we read of Israel and Judah at this time, where they're going through the motions. They're multiplying sacrifices. They're engaged in outward things. They're saying and concluding from Scripture, oh, God's law says, bring the sacrifice. Bring the burnt offering. You know what? God loves sacrifices. Let's just bring sacrifices. And they're failing to see that God is calling for the sacrifice because that's pointing them to the sacrifice that would be made, our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you bring all those multiple, well-stocked sacrifices, Israel, all you're doing, the Lord says, is you're showing me your sins. You're showing me your disloyalty. That's all you're really doing. And when you come without the substance in those sacrifices, you're engaged in just piousity, irreligion, in the form of religion. You have a form of godliness, but you've denied its power. And so he's saying here, I want loyalty rather than sacrifice. I don't want just words. I don't want many sacrifices. I don't want church attendance. I don't want religious, good-looking deeds you do that other people would say, wow, that person loves God. Look at how loyal. Look at how many sacrifices. God says no. Ideally, it would be that you bring no sacrifice, but you would bring the righteousness of loyalty. I would rather that you bring that. Now, in case you're wondering, you go over and you see this in some places in Scripture. Amos chapter 5, verse 21. I hate, God says, I reject your festivals, nor do I delight in your solemn assemblies, even though you offer up to me burnt offerings, your grain offerings. I will not even look at them or accept them, your peace offerings, fatlings. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I'll not even listen to the sound of your harps, but let justice roll down like waters. Let righteousness be like an ever-flowing stream. This is what David was getting at in Psalm 51. You remember in verses 15 and 16 of Psalm 51, after his sin with Bathsheba, and his healing and mending in the Lord's grace. O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise, for you do not delight in sacrifice. Otherwise, I would give it. You're not pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. See, God is saying, I want your loyalty. And even when you sin and you have to bring sacrifices, and even under the Old Testament, multiply them because of your many sins, I want loyalty. That's what I've shown you. I've given you the sacrifices. I've given you the promise of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to come. Come then with faith, with loyalty, looking at Him as you come to me. And in reality, it's no different for us today. If we are to be loyal to God, we have to look at Jesus Christ by faith. We have to see that His loyalty has substance to it. And indeed, it has sacrifice with it. It has sacrifice with it. His sacrifice at the cross shows us the real character and the way God loves His people. He sacrifices. That's the quality of His love. It's the real substantial thing. It's not the imitation. It's not just a description. It's not empty signs for you to look at. No, it's the very Son of God that's been given to us. So our own loyalty, mirrored after Christ's, must then entail, and we'll open this up in further lessons, but for now, sacrifice entails then dying to sin. If you're to be loyal to God, if you're to be loyal to anyone else, you have to learn to die to sin. Dying to sin. Paul said, I die daily. There's a daily dying to sin, even as there is that once and for all being dead to sin and alive to God through faith in Jesus Christ. Are you dying to sin? There's a very graphic way that the Puritan John Owen describes this matter of what's called mortification of sin, of dying to sin. And he says very graphically from Colossians chapter 3, which says to put to death your members. And he says very frankly and sharply, be killing sin, or it will be killing you. This is a warfare that goes on in the Christian life. Somebody's going to die. The old man must be put to death. The new man must live. Indeed, the new man will live because he's alive from the dead. He's already died. And so be putting sin to death. Die to sin. Make it your to-do list high up there. Die to sin. What sin have I killed today? What sin have I put to death? And you can only do this by dying to self. And that's where it meets us, right at the beginning of the gospel. When we came to Christ, what did Jesus tell us to do? Deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me. I think that's why our Christian lives are often so troubled. Why do they go astray? Things run amok. Well, it's because we're trying to follow Christ. We've not taken up the cross. And when this loyalty thing, whether it's to God or someone else, is real hard, it's because we've not denied ourselves. And therefore, taking up the cross is hard. Why? It's hard to follow Jesus daily. Well, if we deny ourselves, there's nothing pleasurable about sin. We'll deny that, therefore. And so if we're going to be about sacrifice, we get this first with relation to God, we must be dying to sin, we must be dying to self, as we have when we came to Christ. So with this then, just for an application as we start off, going into part three next week, remember Matthew chapter 5. We had vows taken today. We're all reminded of our vows toward God in relation to the Church of Jesus Christ. Our Lord says, you've heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of His feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black, but let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. And anything beyond these is of the evil one. We start on the road to application by keeping our vows. Keeping our vows. Have you said yes to God in the gospel? Then that's a yes. It's not a yes and then later, well, maybe, or no. It's yes, yes. This is the way the preaching came to you when you came to Christ. Remember Paul to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians, that our preaching to you was not yes and no. It was clear. It made crystal clear, as I told the Galatians, that it was as though Christ was portrayed publicly among you as being crucified. There's no lack of clarity about the gospel. Our word came, yes, this is the truth. It was not yes and no. And so when you take up all your plans, all of your promises, the vows that you make toward and before the Lord, let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. There are some things against which to say no. There are some things for which you're to say yes. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. This means be a man, woman, a child of your word. If you say you're going to do something, do it. If it's hard to do it, persevere. Was it easy for Jesus to die for your sins? No, that entailed perseverance, sacrifice. Be a person of your word. If you make a promise, keep it. Remember Psalm 15, that a man swears even to what? His own hurt. We're to be people of loyalty. And so therefore be substantial and be sacrificial in your loyalty. Be this to God. Be this to others. Do what you say. Do what is right. Do what you know. For then all your deeds will follow from the grace of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this week, substance, sacrifice. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. God help us as we seek to do these things by faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. O Lord our God, your word comes with conviction and it comes with clarity to us that we would see our Lord Jesus Christ, even in the gospel, teaching us about loyalty. Your loyalty to us, our loyalty back to you. It's clear that we need your help. It is in this setting that you saved us. It will be in this context that you will teach us to walk by the faith through which we're saved. Help us then when we're weak and when we're tempted. We may be knowing the right thing to do, but lack motivation, lacking strength. We may not want to do that which we know we ought to do. Father, by your Spirit, command your word in our hearts toward you. And as we walk by faith, we would have a relationship that is not echoing, what shall I do with you, disciples of Jesus Christ, but will be an answer of, well done, good and faithful servant, that when it was hard, we did the right thing, and our conscience tells us that you're pleased with us. Father, help us in loyalty. And all of this we ask for the glory of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.